Your personal information is being sold online right now. Not by hackers, but by data brokers. Companies you've never heard of collect your details and sell them. Hundreds of these sites gather your phone number, home address, relatives' information, and browsing activity. Once your data is out there, it spreads fast. That's why scam calls know your name, and strangers can look you up in seconds. Opting out manually takes hours per site. With no guarantee it stays gone. Aura does it for you. They automatically find your information, send removal requests to over 200 data broker sites, and continuously monitor to ensure it stays completely gone. Because your data can be relisted at any time, Aura lets you see exactly where and when your data was found and removed. Try Aura for free at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe. To try Aura for free.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American.
Well, that was, a good old-fashioned butt-whooping yesterday in Texas. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Holy smoke. You know, first of all, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. By the way, write down our telephone number. I want you to call. You got to call in today, folks. This is an extraordinary thing that happened yesterday in Texas. And I right out of the gate, and you know me, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time now, this show. And yours truly, I am not one to toot my own horn. No, I'm just not. I mean, so this is going to sound like horn tooting. But it is not there. There is no tooting going on in the studio right now. The only thing I want to convey to you is that, I was right. You know, you had a lot of folks on social media in the conservative sphere. You have a lot of folks on like Fox News Channel and Newsmax and what's the one nobody wants, or One America News. And a lot of those folks, even in the conservative TV world. Well, it's going to be a nail biter. It's going to be, we just don't know. And Trump may end up losing this one. No, not on this radio program, ladies and gentlemen. On this radio program, we were able to call this race like we saw it. And it was very clear to me early on that the voters of America have said enough is enough. And we have seen this really illustrated in Louisiana with what happened. I mean, look at Bill Cassidy. These vote totals are just insane. Look at what happened to Thomas Massey. Look at what happened to the lawmakers in Indiana, the state senators. I mean, there is a movement afoot here. And for me, this is very exciting because what I see, this is everybody's making this about Donald J. Trump. And don't get me wrong, Donald Trump, yes, I mean, he's the leader of the party. He's the president of the United States. Yes, he's a part of it. But the overarching message here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the American people, the voters, have said, we're tired of the BS. We're tired of getting screwed. We're tired of it. Tired of it. And now there's some payback. And that's what happened last night. And there's a lot of confusion right now, and I think a lot of panic within the Republican Party leadership. By the way, the National Republican Senatorial Campaign last night came out, and they actually had to delete their anti-Paxton tweets. They could not even, and by the way, this is Senator Tim Scott. You folks in South Carolina, Tim Scott could not even bring it upon himself to mention the name Ken Paxton. Now, you can say what you want to about Ken Paxton, but the reality is that the good people of Texas, they know him better than anybody else, and by an overwhelming majority, they decided that Ken Paxton was was their guy. I mean, these vote totals are just, I mean, I think he won, what, 99 counties? He won. I think they're still counting a few votes here and there. But the guy almost won 64% of the vote. 64% of the vote. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that tell you? It tells me people are fed up. They're just done. And I'm going to say some controversial things today on this program, but they need to be said. Look, there's only one reason that voters sent President Trump back to the White House for the third time. And the reason why is to get our agenda across the finish line. It just so happens that President Trump, going all the way back to 2015, you have to go all the way back in time. And this is an important thing. We've got a lot of new listeners to the program, and we base everything we do here on fact and also context. And the context of it is very clear to me. And hear me on this. The only reason that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, the only reason is because establishment Republicans continued to stick it to the base, to the grassroots. Every single election, generation after generation after generation, and finally, we the people said enough is enough. And that's why Donald Trump got elected the first time. Donald Trump, nobody knew who Donald Trump was. I mean, well, we knew who he was, but politically, nobody knew. I mean, he hung out with a bunch of Democrats. But Donald Trump said, what do you got to lose? It was a great question. So a lot of people took a chance, and Donald Trump won that primary. He won the election. He won the second term in office, but, you know, they wouldn't let him serve. And then along comes the third term. And you still have the establishment, and they thought they were done with Donald Trump. They thought it was all over. They thought they had finally conquered Donald Trump. And along comes Trump, and he wins again. And the base of the party is enraged right now. Not the base, I'm sorry. The leadership of the party is enraged right now. They don't know what to do. They're horrified. And everybody's predicting doom and gloom. I will say what you want to about Kim. Oh, here's a headline. Well, Don, did you hear this? His ex-wife refused to vote for him. Yeah, it was his ex-wife. What were you expecting? Jeez, come on, people. People are freaking. Well, he's going to lose. He's a flawed man. Who among us is not flawed, ladies and gentlemen? And by the way, when you go through and, you know, all of the accusations are slinging against Kim Paxton, all but one of them didn't stick. So, and he paid some sort of a fine. It looked like some sort of a clerical error or some honest mistake. But again, the people of Texas, you guys have decided here in a pretty decisive manner. So I will say this, that every single Republican up on Capitol Hill, you guys, everybody's watching. They're watching. And I know this has angered this. Some of my tweets have really angered a lot of people in senatorial leadership. And to that, I say good. Because I like these people, and I think they're good people. I think they're honest brokers. But I also think that they're beholden to the lobbyist, and I think they're beholden to party leadership. And a lot of them just don't have courage. And that's a sad thing. And by the way, courage in Washington, D.C. is a hard thing to come by. You know who has courage is Donald Trump. That man's got courage. He's willing to say what needs to be said. But I want to talk just momentarily here to the remaining Republican senators up on Capitol Hill. The voters are ready to kick your butts right off of Capitol Hill. They're ready, and they've already demonstrated they're willing to do it. It doesn't matter if you've served in the Congress for 70 years or 7 years. They're coming after you. You've had your chance. All of you. And let me just say this. I'll name names. Senator Mike Lee, Senator Ted Cruz, they're out there in front of the cameras and they're bloviating and talking about how, you know, this is unacceptable. We've got to get the Save America Act across the finish line. Not once has Mike Lee or Ted Cruz called for John Thune to be removed? It just takes a simple majority. That's all it takes. We've got to nuke the filibuster. Okay, what are you doing about that? You've been talking about that. You've been shouting about it for years. So what are you doing about it, Ted Cruz? What are you doing about it, Mike Lee? Here's the reality, and this is the reality, and I wish it wasn't the reality, but Senate Republicans are complicit in John Thune's efforts to stop or slow down the Trump agenda, period. But Todd, what about, no, all of them, not a single Republican. We went back and looked last night doing show research, doing show prep, wanted to make sure that I had my ducks in a row on this story, because it's an important story. But not a single Republican senator has called for Thune to be removed from power. Not a one. Not a one. They're not even willing to call the guy out by name. That's how scared they are. That's how scared they are. You know, it was interesting. When you step back and you analyze all of this, you sort of get the narrative of what's really going on in Washington. And the fact of the matter is that these Republican senators, they have pledged their allegiance not to you, not to the Constitution, not to Donald Trump. They have pledged their allegiance to John Thune, period. And that's why you have not heard a single Republican senator call for the majority leader to be removed from power. I mean, it's really that simple. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. And that is sad and is unfortunate. And I wish I didn't have to sit here and tell you these things. I wish I could tell you that Republican senators were rising up and I like today, holding a press conference on Capitol Hill saying, we heard you. Maybe having contrition coming from John Cornyn instead of, what was that? What was the line from John Cornyn? Like, what am I going to do? Only 8% of you voted. Only 8% of you voted. Get it together, man. But you know why he was all upset last night? It had nothing to do with the fact that he's been serving, what, 20-some-odd years in the Senate. No, he's upset because the gravy train just dried up. That's why he's upset. And I have no doubt, John Cornyn, I'm sure, is a fine person. But the fact of the matter is, something happened to him up on Capitol Hill. Something happened to all of these Republican senators. And it's a sad thing. Doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, as we get ready to have a great and I hope a rip-roaring show, but I am encouraged. You know, Speaker Mike Johnson, we had him on the show yesterday, and he says, very matter-of-factly, that the House Republicans, they're going to not only keep the majority, they're going to add to their majority. And I believe that. I truly do. I know we've got Iran and high gas prices and grocery, all of that stuff. I hear you on that. But again, things are so devastatingly horrifying on the Democrat side of the aisle. I don't see them being able to overcome that. You know, James Talaferro, who is the guy running, he's the Democrat nominee there in Texas. They asked him, you know, who he likes to hang out with. You know, who do you like to hang out with? And the guy was, you know, most people say, oh, I like to hang out with my buddies. You know, we go to a basketball game, maybe go to movies. I just love hanging out with the transgender children. Okay, that's kind of creepy. Talaferro, that's the guy. Also, he's trying to come to terms with his whiteness and his manhood, not necessarily in that order. They call him Low-T Talaferro. That's the other thing they call him there. I'm not making this up. Parker, you're laughing. I'm telling you, that's what they call the guy. Jeez. All right, we got to take a break here. Your reaction to what happened last night, and what do you think the message? You heard what I think the message was. But what message do you think voters were trying to send to the nation last night? 901-260-5926. We're going to open up the phone lines today. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Dr. John Fleming, running for the U.S. Senate in Louisiana. Steve Gill's going to be here, publisher of TriStarDaily.com, and the great Newsmax columnist, Wendy Patrick. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
All right, yeah, we have got a lot of dirt on Tallarico. This guy, Low T Tallarico, dude. Oh my gosh. The guy says he's coming to terms with his masculinity and his whiteness. I don't know who's going to be doing the hosting the first debate between Paxton and Tallarico, but I hope they invite me to do it, because my very first question will be, Mr. Tallarico, have you come to terms, sir, with your manhood? That would be my first question. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. We will start today in Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. All right, Mike, what happened last night?
Well, first of all, I want to just say welcome back. Once again, you're a breath of fresh air on the radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, 2 months ago we actually talked. It was when Paxton was on the short list for Attorney General, and I told you that if that were to happen, Cornyn would not beat Tallarico because the Paxton base would not show up for Cornyn. The only way to keep that seat red was to nominate Paxton. I also told you that with or without Trump's endorsement, Paxton wins. Even if Trump was to endorse Cornyn, Paxton's still going to win by 5 to 10 points. And if Trump actually did endorse Paxton, he would win in a landslide. But I'll have to admit, I did not see an almost 30-point margin coming. I had no idea it was going to be that much of a landslide. But that just goes to show you, here in Texas, the establishment is history. We're voting for the candidates that put America first and just let the chips fall where they may. Trump endorsed Paxton, landslide. Trump endorsed Middleton, landslide. Beau French, the railroad commissioner, he's mad. He didn't get Trump's endorsement because it's just a state, state level position. But he's all about MAG and America First. He put that in all of his, campaign literature and so forth. He won. So, all three of the anti-establishment candidates won. The only establishment candidate that won is our local Harris County Republican chair, Cindy Siegel. She won. Don Hooper lost. But 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
No, it's not. And I will say this, just a slight correction. Actually, Trump did not endorse Middleton, but his Trump senior advisor was boots on the ground and really doing a lot of social media push for him. We actually had Middleton on the show yesterday, and I like the guy. I mean, he's the real deal. He says what's on his mind, and I had no doubt that he was going to win yesterday, just based on what he said. And Mike, I think the folks in Texas, for me, it was about paying attention to the rural communities, and because ultimately that's the base of our party, not the big cities, but the rural communities. And it was very clear they're done with the establishment.
Well, I stand corrected on Middleton. But see, that's what keeps Texas red. Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, especially Houston, which we just live like our Clear Lake borders, Houston city limits. You know, it's all blue. It's deep blue. It's the rest of the state that keeps Texas red. And that's the concern we have here is demographics. As more and more people move from the east and west coast or from other countries, that's when the pendulum is beginning to move.
Yeah. And that's the whole point about immigration. I hate to cut you off, Mike, because the computer's about to cut us off. But that's the whole point about illegal immigration. The point was to dilute Republican votes in red states. And that's why when you go back and look at where the illegals were placed in red states like Tennessee and Texas, for example, Georgia, it all makes sense. All right, we've got to take a break here. Opening up the phone lines this hour, 901-260-5926. What's your take on what happened last night? This is the Todd Stern Show.
Your personal information is being sold online right now, not by hackers, but by data brokers. Companies you've never heard of collect your details and sell them. Hundreds of these sites gather your phone number, home address, relatives' information, and browsing activity. Once your data is out there, it spreads fast. That's why scam calls know your name, and strangers can look you up in seconds. Opting out manually takes hours per site. With no guarantee it stays gone. Aura does it for you. They automatically find your information, send removal requests to over 200 data broker sites, and continuously monitor to ensure it stays completely gone. Because your data can be relisted at any time, Aura lets you see exactly where and when your data was found and removed. Try Aura for free at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe. To try Aura for free.
All right, this guy, Tallarico, you know, he ran in 2022. He was running for office, and he said he was running an anti-meat campaign. Who does that? Who does that in the state of Texas? Where even the vegans are actually meat eaters. I mean, if we're going to be real, we get real on this program. Even the vegetarians eat brisket in Texas. And you know who you are. But anyway, the guy said, yeah, I'm running a meatless campaign. Does that go back to the manhood thing? Or is that, no, oh, this was brisket. No, he was only buying from vegan products from vegan-owned businesses. I just don't know. Do you think that the good people of Texas, the Lone Star State, would elect a vegan to the U.S. Senate? All hat and no tofu, if you ask me. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Alan in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Alan. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, I just wanted to call in and tell you how thrilled I was with what happened in Texas last night. And I am so thankful that you're a voice that, you know, that tells it like it is. And you had the I don't know what you want to call it.
Cojones, yeah. Sir, yeah. Cojones.
The cojones, yes,
the
sir.
Man parts.
I loved it when you called them out just a little earlier. You know, you name names, you know, and I think that's what it's going to take. But I don't know if they can be actually shamed into doing anything. But the real threat of being primaried and an example that was made last night, I hope it puts the fear of God in them.
You know, I do too, Alan. And I hate it because I'm sure, you know, these are not horrible, evil human beings. These are individuals who are bought and paid for by the lobbyist, by all the big money special interest groups, by Republican Party leadership, and they've been sucked into this weird world. And we've got to put a stop to that, and we've got to destroy that world. And that's why there's been so much pushback against the president's agenda with these people.
Absolutely, and I thank you again.
My pleasure. Look, I love it. And, you know, we have a lot of fun on this program, but, you know, we have to call people out. And I don't work off anybody's talking points. Nobody's slipping me cash under the table. Not that I mind. I wouldn't mind that. But they don't do that. And that's okay, you know, because, again, I think that every person who has been provided the opportunity to talk to an audience, whether it be on TV or on radio or a podcast, I think you have a responsibility to be honest with your audience. And unfortunately, a lot of hosts are not doing that right now, and it's caused a lot of chaos, and I think it's really angered a lot of people. And you may not agree with what I have to say, but by golly, you know that's my opinion. So, Alan, God bless you. Thank you for the call. Thanks for the kind words. Let's go to Paul in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind?
Hey, I am very, very happy with the results of the election last night. However, I believe we have a problem because those that vote in the primary are typically politically astute. And our problem in November will be to get those that are not politically astute out to the polls to vote for MAGA.
Paul, this is an interesting thing you brought up. I believe John Cornyn, in his remarks last night, he was trying to make the argument only 8% of Republicans went out to vote. Regardless, and I don't know what the official percentages are, that's what he said last night, but I will say this, it certainly appeared to be, from all indications, at least early voting totals, historic numbers. And I think we are going to see those numbers stay high as we go into the election cycle here. I really don't see, and we're going to go through some of the stuff James Tallarico has done and said. Paul, I'm going to be genuinely shocked if this guy wins in Texas.
Well, no, I believe he'll lose in Texas, but I mean across the nation.
Oh, I see what you're, yes.
I think that Trump's MAGA Republicans voted very well in the primaries, but he's going to have a tough time getting them all out in the general election because they're not knowledgeable about all the things he's done and all the politics. They hear a lot of negative ads, and they either won't vote or they'll probably just stay home.
Paul, have you heard of this? And well, there's a medical condition involved here. It's called, and I don't know if you've heard of this before, it's called derriere-itis. Have you heard of that, derriere-itis?
Yes, I have a couple of relatives with that, and it's hard to fix.
Well, it is, but here's the problem. It afflicts both establishment Republicans and MAGA Republicans, and if their candidate does not get the nod, well, they come down with a raging case of the derriere-itis, and they don't go vote on Election Day, and we can't do that. It just, that's what kills me about the Republicans. And I live, Paul, in Memphis. And our Republicans here are not as conservative as I would like them to be. And that's okay. Okay. I mean, this is not some unique thing, but it doesn't matter. If they have an R after their name and they win the primary and I have a choice between an R and a D, by golly, I'm voting for the R, even if they are a moderate Republican, because we just can't let the Democrats win.
But we got to get them out in November.
Yeah. How do we do that? How do we do that, Paul?
We keep pounding about what the Democrats are doing. We keep pounding it over and over and over about what they're doing to our country.
Yeah, and we're going to do that on this show. We are. But we have got to make sure that everybody is on board. And like, for example, Texas, and I'm glad to hear John Cornyn coming out and saying he's going to vote for, you know, he's going to support the Republican ticket. And I would like to believe him. I certainly hope there's no sabotaging there. But, you know, if we're able to do that, I think that, you know, we're going to be just fine. But we've got to get everybody on the same page. And right now, there are just going to be a lot of butthurt establishment Republicans, and they will try to throw the election. No doubt about that.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Paul, thank you. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to play some audio. This is James Tallarico, and this is his advice, his take on the border. Which, by the way, has been one of the great success stories during this Trump term in office. But here's what Tallarico says. We really need to be rethinking our position on the border. Cut 10, please.
I've always said that our southern border should be like our front porch. There should be a welcome mat and a lock on the door, meaning we can both welcome immigrants who want to come here and live the American dream, who want to contribute to our economy, who want to contribute to our communities, make us richer and stronger, as immigrants have always done throughout American history. And we can keep out people who mean to do us harm. We can know who's trying to come into our country. We can have an orderly, sane immigration system that keeps us all safe, that promotes public safety. Just like you do at your own home. Many people, especially in Texas, we're hospitable. We're the friendly state in Texas. We'll give a neighbor the shirt off our back. But we also have a right to know who's coming into our home. We have a right to know why they're there and what their intentions are. We can be both hospitable and keep everybody safe at the same time. Our opponents don't want people to know that you can do both, because they rely on using this issue of immigration to grandstand, to say that it's a choice between public safety and welcoming immigrants. And the truth is, that has always been a false choice throughout American history. And we need leaders who are going to do both, secure the border and create a pathway to citizenship for the folks who have been here for a long time and who have been contributing to this country.
All right, there you have Tallarico. Wants the border to be just like a big old front porch. Put out or just roll out the welcome mat. That's what he says. Oh, here's the one where he's talking about his whiteness. Somebody said, Todd, there's no way he's really coming to terms with his white. Oh, yes, he's coming to terms with his whiteness, ladies and gentlemen. Take a listen to Cut 11.
For me, prophetic voices like Jesus have helped me reckon with my own whiteness, my own masculinity, my own certainty, my own ego. It's a never-ending process, and it's a painful process.
Is that, Parker, turn your microphone on. I know you're a big basketball guy, and that's what you want to do. You want to be a coach or a sports broadcaster, and you do a lot of the basketball clinics here. I'm wondering, is that him basically saying that, the reason why he can't be a basketball star is because he's a white guy?
I mean, he's totally ashamed of it. He's totally ashamed of it. I can't understand it.
Yeah, I just don't get this. And I'm fairly certain that Jesus did not tell him to be ashamed of his whiteness.
Absolutely not. I can confirm that.
Or his masculinity. What's that all about?
That's even worse.
Anyway, so Tallarico, and again, can we just play this again? This is Tallarico, and he's speaking in a church, by the way. This guy professes to be a theologian and a pastor, and he's a dangerous guy, but, from that standpoint. But take a listen again to Cut 11.
For me, prophetic voices like Jesus have helped me reckon with my own whiteness, my own masculinity, my own certainty, my own ego. It's a never-ending process, and it's a painful process.
Wow. I don't know, recommend maybe, just maybe, trying some hot sauce, just a little dab initially, right? Maybe it's just start with a smidge of hot sauce and then build your tolerance level up. Maybe instead of kale, he could switch to, I don't know, mustard greens, maybe some collards on the side. Just a thought. And I mean, the guy is just pasty white. He does not look very healthy. My recommendation, maybe hit the tanning salon, or get a makeup artist and put on some bronzer. I'm just hopefully offering some help for this guy. As far as, his masculinity, he is a 37-year-old man and cannot grow facial hair. I don't know what to make of that. I wish I did, but I don't. So here's the other part of Tallarico that's just weird. So this guy, back in 2022, he ran a meatless campaign. He was running for the state house, and he announced that he was declaring war on meat. He was anti-meat, and he said he would only buy vegan products and from vegan businesses. I mean, that's it. He also, by the way, claims that the Bible affirms abortion and that God is non-binary. Tallarico is on record as saying there are six genders. I don't know. It's just weird. Then there was the creepy question. Fox News covered this. When asked about something he loves other than family and friends, he he said, I just love trans kids. I just love them. Hey. Ugh. Creepy. I'm sorry. Who answers that question? Who answers that? That is weird, man. Weird. So anyway, the meat thing, though, is what's going to get him. Because I'm telling you right now, Texans, they don't trust vegans. And I don't blame them. You guys have all that great brisket in the hill country. And if you do want to eat us, you know, if look, I've got nothing against vegans, just eat a salad, right? But Texas is like cows, cattle, the longhorns, right? And I want to go back to this one truth, one fact about Texas. Do not underestimate the power of the pit smoker. Do not do that because, again, in Texas, even the vegetarians eat brisket. It really is that simple. I think that's going to be the issue that ends up doing him in. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax, and they have a free Social Security benefits report they want to send you right now. There's a study out there. 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. However, Social Security expert Michael Allen says there are five key strategies to increase your Social Security benefits by, get this, by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. It's remarkable. I want you to write down this number. Give them a call, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We'll text you all the information right away, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply.
We have, I think, heard more and more issues of animal welfare. I think not just because it's the right thing to do and the moral thing to do, but also it's, as all of you know, necessary to fight climate change. It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption and that we try to respect animals in all aspects of society. And so I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign. So we are only buying vegan products from our local vegan businesses. Some of you may know Big Nonas. They were little Nonas, and then they opened up Brick and Mortar, some other Big Nonas. But we just got our pizza from there today. And so the point is that I think all of us, not just policymakers, but everyone has to take personal responsibility in this effort.
Look, we respect the meat here in Memphis. We just smother it with dry rub. Let's go to the phone lines. Melissa in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Melissa, what do you make of this Tallarico guy?
Hi, good afternoon. I have to say, I'm so sorry. He's an idiot. And everything he says just creeps me out. It doesn't help that I work in one of the most democratic sections of Houston, and my employer has Tallarico signs all over their yard. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I literally get to work, and it takes all I have to keep my mouth shut and not stick my foot in my mouth.
Melissa, do you see any path to victory for this guy in Texas?
Oh, God, I hope not.
The guy doesn't eat meat. I just don't trust men who don't eat meat. I'm sorry.
Well, now, how can you be from Texas and not eat meat? Like you said earlier, we're all about our brisket and our barbecue and everything else, so...
I just don't. What in the name of mesquite and post oak are you people doing? Sorry,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. No, God help us if he wins. Because yeah, I hope that's not the case. So,
Melissa, were you surprised? Were you surprised by the defeat, the margins of victory for Ken Paxton?
Yes, but I am so glad that he pulled it out.
Melissa, you hang in there, and my recommendation is just show up to work with some brisket. I don't know, that might trigger some of the Tallarico folks.
I love it, Todd, and I'm so glad you're back, and I'm so glad you're doing well.
Well, thank you for that, Melissa. I have to cut back on the brisket, but, you know, I'm with you guys in spirit.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for calling. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, by the way, folks, head over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books online right now, and pre-order my brand-new book. It'll be out this summer. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I want you to read this book. I'm very, very proud of this project. Well over 300 pages. And folks, there's going to be a lot of, I will promise you, a lot of laughter in this book. All right. Hang tight. Hour two of The Big Show coming up. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I did not believe this, and I reached out to a couple of folks I know in Texas. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, one of the big problems they've had in Texas has been the rise of Islam, and the Islamists have been moving in, mosques going up all over the place, and it is a huge, huge problem. Of course, this is something that many states and around the nation have been dealing with as well, but it's sort of weird in Texas where they have so many Baptist and Methodist. I mean, even the Catholics are Methodist in Texas. Anyway, there is a big rally being planned next Tuesday in Frisco, Texas, by these Muslims, a guy by the name of Zuel Muhammad, and they're declaring war on rednecks. This is not going to end well, I'm afraid. Mr. Muhammad says, are you tired of hearing low-class people blame your culture for their problems? You should be attending the rally against rednecks, an evening dedicated to celebrating the contributions of our local Asian community and letting a bunch of trailer park trash yokels know what the world really thinks about them. Wow. So that's going on. And we'll keep you updated on that. But apparently these people are also anti-Ken Paxton, and that could get ugly pretty quickly. But this is what's happening in our country, and I'm not surprised when they use terms like, you know, redneck. You know, people think redneck, I know they're using it as a slur, but in the South, when I was growing up, if you had a redneck, that was a sign of respect because that meant you were working the fields. You were a farmer. You were somebody working with your hands outside. That was a sign of respect. And but they're not using it that way. And, you know, the term, what, trailer park trash yokels? I mean, what was it, Obama, bitter clinger, Hillary Clinton, basket of irredeemable deplorables? Joe Biden called us the dregs of society? Unbelievable. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have the state treasurer of the great state of Louisiana, Dr. John Fleming, with us, also former congressman and has been on our show many times in the past. Dr. Fleming, hope you're doing well today.
Yes, Todd, great. Thanks for having me on once again.
Yeah, well, Doctor, we had you on the Newsmax show yesterday, and we appreciated you coming on. I prefer having great conversations on the radio, and we're so thankful that you decided to hang out with us. And I gotta get your opinion on what happened to your next-door neighbors over there in Texas. What's your take on that election last night?
Well, I think it was predictable. Ken Paxton has been a real warrior when it comes to conservative causes, especially during the Biden administration. Of course, Senator Cornyn has been really your classic establishment Republican. Not a bad guy at all, but not really fighting, you know, on the fighting edge of the battles that were in the first Trump administration, which I was in, or fighting against the Biden administration and all of the crazy excesses that were going on there. And so I do think that Trump's endorsement of Ken Paxton definitely weighed in on it. But I think Ken Paxton was on his way to victory anyway. I think that at least in the South, in Texas and in Louisiana, states like that, we're just sick and tired of the establishment Republicans who too often go along to get along, who really don't take risks, who really don't show courage when it comes to conservatism.
You see, I think you're onto something there. And again, the margins of the victories, there's, I think that's really where the story is. Not that they want, you know, not that these lawmakers lost their seats, but by how much. I mean, these are incumbent senators. This is something very unusual. I mean, you've been in politics for a long time. You know, it's hard to unseat, especially, you know, sitting United States senators.
Yes. And of course, Senator Cassidy was in a three-way race with myself and Julia Letlow, and we eliminated him. And of course, Julia Letlow and myself are the two remaining who are going to the runoff, which is really an interesting parallel to what happened in Texas last night, because unlike Paxton and Cornyn, the situation is reversed. Julia Letlow has the endorsement of President Trump. And there's a reason why that occurred that I'll be happy to explain. But I'm actually the Ken Paxton in this race. I'm the one who has the consistent conservative voting record, a Freedom Caucus founder in the House of Representatives. I have fought those battles such as Ken has fought, particularly in terms of some of the issues relative to religion and other things, religious liberty, and all the cultural things that we've been battling for years.
I want to get to the endorsement first, but I think we need to set the stage for why this is, it's a little troubling what happened here. So you say that you are the true MAGA Republican, and I see that on your campaign imaging. What is it about Julia Letlow that does not make her a MAGA Republican?
Well, first of all, she's never fought in any of these battles, any of these cultural battles. In fact, she was a big promoter of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, while she, in her pre-House of Representatives position, she was an administrator at a college here in Louisiana, and she fought to actually grow DEI. Her voting record has been nothing close to what we would consider conservative. My voting record over 8 years in the House of Representatives, clearly very conservative. As I said, I was one of the founders of the House Freedom Caucus. And one of the big issues we have today is when it comes to this climate ideology, which President Trump declares is a scam, we have something in Louisiana called carbon capture and sequestration, which is dumping toxic carbon dioxide in the ground and paying these companies a large amount of money coming right out of our national debt, which is now $40 trillion. She's all for that. I'm totally opposed to it. I agree with President Trump on DEI. I agree with President Trump on these climate change ideologies, these Green New Deal scams. And Julia Letlow actually supports them.
So how did she end up getting the president's endorsement?
Really early on, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Jeff Landry, who is now our governor, worked very hard with his cronies in Washington that are sort of satellites in the Trump campaign, and they worked to get that endorsement for her. You know, President Trump does hundreds of endorsements, and he relies on other people to vet them. And I was totally blocked from making contact with him until the endorsement was done. Then he found out about me, reached out to me. We had a great conversation. I reminded him who I was. I had been his deputy chief of staff in the first administration for 10 months. And he said, well, look, you're fantastic. He says, why didn't you call me? And I said, sir, I attempted a number of times and people around you blocked me at every turn. And so, again, that was an operation run by Jeff Landry, who for whatever personal reasons he has, wanted her to be the one to displace Cassidy. But she's not the prototypical MAGA America First candidate, and really has a very thin resume otherwise. She's never passed a bill into law. She's never been on the forefront and taken the kind of risks that are necessary to show the courage you need in this arena of conservatism.
I'm wondering about Speaker Johnson, of course, you know, Louisiana, his home state. Have y'all had any conversations?
We've spoken, and he's not endorsing either party. You know, I was his predecessor. I actually helped him get elected behind me as I went to the Trump administration. And he's done a great job as our speaker, not necessarily voting as conservative as I might. But, you know, when you're speaker, you really have a lot of things you have to do in order to get bills through. So, despite the endorsement settings and things like that, I think the people of Louisiana don't want to send another person like Senator Cornyn, who's there for 40 years and really just has milquetoast appetite when it comes to getting conservative causes through. And we have so many, like the SAVE Act is so important. We need that to maintain election integrity. But we've got to fight. We have to take risks in order to make that happen. And I look forward to working with President Trump and making that happen when I get there.
You know, looking back at the vote totals, clearly Letlow had a pretty significant percentage there, what, almost 45% of the vote. Then you coming in second place and Bill Cassidy with barely almost 25% of the vote. What is it going to take to convince the voters? You know, they see that Trump endorsement. Is there any rumblings that the president may look at endorsing someone else in the runoff, or is that just a done deal?
Well, I can't predict what the president might do or say. I certainly can't read his mind, and I do know that he can be flexible. He's switched endorsements. He's actually co-endorsed. So I don't know what he will do in this setting. He did make mention, one of his last statements before the primary election, that he was, of course, condemning Bill Cassidy, as he has many times. And he referred back to two great people in the race. Obviously, I would be one of them. And so I think he looks favorably on me and my campaign. And he understands that we're America first and would be a great ally of his. You know, we did a poll right after the primary election, and it came out a dead heat. It's a tie, according to our poll. And we think that we picked up a lot of voters who didn't necessarily vote in the first round.
I will say this. I was surprised when the president, you know, came out and endorsed, only because I knew you from your years in Congress, of course, with the founding of the Freedom Caucus. And I mean, your conservative credentials are impeccable. So yes. let's see how all this plays out. It's a shame that politics, you know, politics on the state level is pretty dirty. It's pretty conniving at times. So let's just hope things. Let's hope the president takes another look at all of this.
Yeah, thank you, Todd, for that, because honestly, had I had an equal opportunity, I don't think there'd be any question that I would have the endorsement. But again, when you have politicians who are looking out for their own political interest and their own political future, and they're backed with a lot of what we call dark money that's in play that, of course, Jeff Landry controls, you come out with some of these things. But I can just tell you, around the state, people are recognizing that I'm the prototypical America First candidate, not Julia Letlow. And I've, in fact, recently challenged her to three debates so we could bring all that out. And she refuses to debate me because
that's a red flag.
Defend her record.
Yeah, that's a red flag, Dr. Fleming. If your opponent's not going to debate, I got big problems with that.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, Dr. Fleming, we're going to have to leave it there. But again, I want to give out the website here, FlemingSenateCampaign.com. That's FlemingSenateCampaign.com. And you'll be able to find all you need to know about Dr. Fleming and his platforms and his positions. Dr. Fleming, we wish you the very best in the runoff. Good luck to you, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Todd. Good to see you.
All right.
You again.
Yeah, good to see you as well, Dr. John Fleming. And that guy really is a rock solid conservative, folks. And it did surprise. Look, I like Letlow. I think she's a very great person. She's been a regular on the program as well. But if you're gonna compare the political history of these two candidates, John Fleming clearly is the more conservative, pro-Trump candidate in the race. And again, we'll get Julia Letlow back on, and we'll ask her about these things. And also, folks, and I'm curious to hear her thoughts on this. It just seems to me, but if you are running for any sort of a public office, you should have an obligation to debate your opponents, period. One of the things I'm really respecting here in Tennessee, we have a new 9th congressional district that's been redistricted. There are four or five Republicans running for that congressional seat. So far, they have, I think, had three or four debates already across the district. And I respect that. It's a lot of work, but the voters need to know what you think and what you believe. And the best way to do that is to sit down and do a debate. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. From the Today Show. Lovely Helen, if you don't mind, I need some, I'm a bit parched. If you could grab me some water downstairs, thank you. From the Today Show. No, normally I get my own coffee, but I can't do that when I, anyway, otherwise we'd have dead air, so. So anyway, USA Today, here is, not USA Today, the Today Show, my apologies. Is it time to bring back old school chores for kids? And now apparently the internet is divided over all of this. And the Today Show exploring whether or not young children should have a weekly job, whether it's like doing the laundry, washing dishes, or something of that nature. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I remember when I was a youngster, you know, I mean, early on, I remember when I was a youngster that we had chores. You know, we had things we had to do. And guys, if we could just get all that fixed, thank you. So I'm just curious if you had chores when you were growing up, when you were a child, and did you give your kids like assignments? Like, for example, we had to make sure that our beds were made. I mean, that was like a big deal in our house. Your bed had to be made. Your room had to be clean. So again, I don't know. I just assumed that a lot of kids would still have jobs. And then the older we got, you know, the more responsibility. For example, at dinner time, we would have to clear the table and load the dishwasher, and we would, or take out the trash. When I became a teenager, you know, it was mowing the grass. Parker, I'm curious, did you have I mean, you're not all that old, but did you have chores growing up?
Yeah, it kind of, as you said, it kind of went away as I got older, like less and less, which sounds weird to say, but there were definitely chores. Obviously, make your bed was a daily one. My younger brother and I, we would alternate who had to do the dishes. That was kind of a big one. Laundry was a big one in our house.
I hated the dishes.
Yeah, we despised it. We would always fight over who had to, whose turn was it actually. But the dishes and laundry were the big ones in our house.
So according to this one person writing on Threads, my dad sent me my chore list from when I was a kid. He said, my dad said I had to make the bed, I had to do the dishes, and I had to empty the trash can. With specific days for helping doing the laundry and cleaning the bathroom. Oh, God, that's a terrible. I have a housekeeper. Is that bad of me? I do. I have somebody that comes and cleans. I don't like to clean. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what about you? Is it time to bring back old school chores? Put these kids to work. 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, do you pay your kids? Or is this part of, like, you know... You know, I'm looking at this story from the Today Show. Is it time to bring back old school chores for kids? Maybe that's one of the reasons that the country's gone to hell in a handbasket. I mean, we're raising the little spawns of Satan out there. And I don't know, maybe if they had to do the dishes, they would be, you know, decent human beings. But again, you know, when I was a kid, there were expectations. And there were some things we did not get an allowance for. For example, if I mowed the grass, I would get an allowance for something like that. But if it was like, you know, cleaning up the bathroom or washing the dishes, no, those were expectations. And my dad simply explained it one day that, you know what, we put a roof over your head and food in your belly, and this is what you're going to do, or we can charge your rent. Your call. So, and dad was sort of old school about all of that. Let's go to OG in North Carolina, WTKF. All right, OG, what do you think about this idea of bringing back old chores?
Well, it's a good idea because at 5 years old, my first job was for a neighbor who was a charter boat captain. And my job was to clamp the tail of the fish on a board while he would scale it and clean the fish.
That sounds like an unpleasant job, but it's a job.
Well, and then I wound up graduating. I kept telling him I wanted to. I told him that I wanted to go out on his boat. And he said, no, you can't because it's been commandeered by the Coast Guard. So as we got toward 1945, and it got to the point where the war was almost over, he said, well, yeah, you can come on my boat and clean it, but you have to pass a qualification test. You have to stand on the bow of my boat and put a line around your waist and jump in the water. And before your chin gets wet, you have to have a bowline tied.
And
what? At that point, yeah, I had to have a bowline. I had to tie a knot to a bowline, a loop around my waist so that I could get rescued. And as a result, I wound up working on charter boats for the next 20 years.
Is that right? Wow.
So,
so they.
And I'm still involved. I'm still involved in boating. I'm still involved with the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Did they pull you out? How did that work out? I mean, there you are.
Just... Well, it worked out fine. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, sounds like it. I guess so. It's wow. That makes me sort of feel pretty low on the totem pole with having to take out the trash.
Not a chance. Just you get a chuckle out of that.
That's a great story.
God bless.
All right. Thanks, OG. All right. There you go. Give us a call if you think it's time to bring back old school chores. 901-260-5926. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good buddy Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, joins us. Steve, I'm curious, did you have like a chore that your parents made you do back in the day?
Oh, absolutely. I had three younger brothers, and we all had, you know, our chores. And then in addition to that, you know, I was mowing yards in the neighborhood. I had a paper route at one point. Now, my dad was a career Air Force fighter pilot, so we lived everywhere from Anchorage to Miami. We were moving all the time. But you had your chores at home, and then you need to be hustling and scrambling out there to try and earn some money.
You know, I love that idea. My dad was an electrician, and so he worked in this huge, like, industrial park. And one summer, I guess I was like 13 or something, and he came home and he had this huge box of like Snicker bars and things like that. And he said, guys, if you show up to me and my brother, if you show up at the work site, you know, during snack time or lunch hour or whatever, you should sell these and upcharge them. And, you know, we made a killing that summer doing that kind of stuff. But the whole point was to get you into that entrepreneurship, you know, mentality and attitude.
Well, and in sixth grade, I sold Cokes at the UT football games, you know, carrying that tray of Cokes up and down the stairs, you know, selling cold drinks. But then I figured out that if you poured a little bit of the Coke out and you're calling them mixers, all those guys that had a little Jack Daniels bottle in their socks, you could sell your tray quicker as mixers rather than Cokes.
Wow, what a great idea. I'm shocked because I thought everybody was teetotalers up that part of the state, but you know.
not during the bad seasons. Nothing would drive you to drink quicker than watching UT football lose games.
Well, I hear you on that. Absolutely. Steve, wow. Yesterday, I think a lot of people in the world of politics seem to be shocked here at just the magnitude of this loss. What do you read into what happened in Texas yesterday?
Well, first of all, we're being lied to by the mainstream media, by the left, and you know, like there's any real difference. The MAGA voters, the conservative Republicans, have not backed off from Donald Trump one inch. And we're seeing that in race after race where he makes endorsements. That is the gold standard. It was in Texas. It's been in Indiana. It's been all over the country. It was 137-0. And what we saw in Texas was, again, don't challenge him, particularly on policy. I mean, this isn't just personality, that people prefer Donald Trump's personality to others. As you and I have talked, there's some pieces of his personality I'm not a big fan of. But when you look at the policies, MAGA is fully 100% behind him. And again, when you challenge him on policy, you're going to lose. And we saw that in Texas, not just in the Cornyn-Paxton race, but in House races. We're seeing it all over the country. And the shame is we're past the qualifying deadline in some of these states to take out some of these rhinos. And I'm including Josh Hawley. I'm including, you know, obviously John Thune. Some of these guys are not going to be up for election for another 2 years. We need to take them out then as well. And the ones that are up this time, you know, we've already passed the qualifying deadline in so many cases. So when people are saying, let's primary them, I'm sorry, the deadline's already passed. But for those that are up in 2 years, don't forget, remember in 28, because that's going to be your first shot to remove some of these guys from office that deserve to be removed.
You know, Steve, I want to play this audio from Fox News last night. Going back to your point of how well the president is doing here, cut 17, please.
Races and Senate races. This is his scorecard, okay? He has endorsed 8 governors. Now, some of these races weren't real close, didn't have a lot of competition, but some of them did. I mean, we saw what happened in Louisiana, the primary with Bill Cassidy. We saw what happened a week ago tonight with Tom Massey in Kentucky. And now we're seeing it again tonight, okay, in Texas. Governor level, Trump endorsed 8. He won 8 times. U.S. House, 101 endorsed. He won. Yeah, sorry, 101 endorsed in the House, and he won 101. Let me put on the pencil right here and show you this. U.S. Senate, Sean, he has endorsed 8 candidates. And prior to tonight, he had won 8 times. And now you can take the endorsement from 8 to 9 endorsed, and from 8 to 9 winner. Ken Paxton was outspent 9-1. Got the endorsement from Trump, got the endorsement of Wesley Hunt, the congressman who got knocked out 2.5 months ago. And now we got the setup in Paxton and Tallarico. Many Republicans felt if John Cornyn could win tonight, that he could be an easy winner over Tallarico. We'll never know that now. And a lot of Republicans felt that they could save a lot of money too if Cornyn won. But that did not happen.
So your reaction to that, Steve Gill.
Well, first of all, the fact that Cornyn and his Republican rhino allies did $100 million in that race, when there are a bunch of House races and Senate races around the country that are crucial, that money could make a difference in. And we saw that 2 years ago. You had Mitch McConnell and the rhinos not direct money into Senate races in places like Nevada and others that we could have won if they put money there rather than trying to protect their rhino buddies. They didn't want conservatives to win, and that cost us at least 2, maybe 3 U.S. Senate seats that we'd sure like to have right now. The other thing is when we look at Texas, keep in mind that Chip Roy also got beat in the attorney general's race pretty handily by another guy that Donald Trump had endorsed. So it's again, across the board, that Trump endorsement in a primary makes a huge difference, actually the difference in most of these races. The question is, will it translate into the fall? And Trump's going to have to really be out there to mobilize the MAGA voters to get out and the rhinos to see the danger of the just extremists that the Democrats are putting up, whether it's in Maine, whether it's in Texas with Tallarico, or in Georgia with the Atlanta mayor. I mean, you have the Democrats picking the worst possible candidates ever. And Trump's going to have to be out there, not just in primaries, but as we head into the fall, making sure that turnout turns out among conservatives, moderate Republicans, and continue to bring those Latino and Hispanic, Venezuelan expats, and others to the polls in November to win these races all over the country.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. I mean, it's just too dangerous when the candidates that they are putting up across the nation, including here in the Memphis area with Justin Pearson, who is just a radical guy. It is too dangerous to stay home and not vote. And that would be my concern in Texas, where you do have the establishment John Cornyn supporters who are really, really upset right now over what happened last night. But again, this goes back to 2015, Steve, when the grassroots of the party said, we're just done. We're done with people promising us things and never delivering. So when Trump comes along and says, hey, what do you got to lose? Give me a shot. They give him a shot and he delivers on his promises. Well, you know what? This is a new day for voters and they feel emboldened. And I think I hope that the establishment is receiving the message here that we're just not going to tolerate obstruction anymore.
Well, and again, part of this, I have to blame President Trump. When he lost Georgia and told people to stay home and gave us two Democrat senators in the runoff in Georgia, Ossoff, who's up for election again, he told people stay home because he was mad at Kemp and Raffensperger. We can't do that. We have to be more motivated than ever. And interestingly, Todd, it's not just here at home when people get frustrated with their team. We've seen it in England, where the conservatives there got frustrated that their party was not stopping the flood of illegals. And they said, well, fine, if y'all aren't going to do it, we'll just give the liberals with labor a shot. And now they're in a deeper hole with more illegal immigration. So be careful what you ask for when you get mad at your own team. Don't pick the stay at home, because you're putting even more evil and even more disaster for your country, whether it's here or in England or elsewhere. You're putting those people in power.
Yeah, look, and Georgia is going to be a crucial state when it comes to growing and maintaining our control of the Senate. That's a big deal, and we've got to play this smart. The Collins campaign, they're not running a sharp campaign right now, and it needs to be focused. You've got Derek Dooley endorsed by Brian Kemp. You've got Mike Collins, and I know they've gotten rid of one of Collins' staffers for the crass joke or whatever, but, you know, we have got to play this smart, Steve, and that's my only concern. The only concern is that Republicans have to be smart about all of this.
And we have to be careful of the whack jobs that the Democrats are nominating, like in Maine and Texas and Georgia and other places. But we've also got to be careful of the Democrats who are lying and pretending. You've got former Governor Cooper in North Carolina, who's pretending to be a moderate, just like Beshear in Kentucky does. There are no moderate Democrats. They lie. Do not be fooled, whether it's in the state level here in Tennessee, state house, state senate, Congress. Do not be fooled by the Democrats who claim to be moderates. There are no moderates in the Democratic Party, as you see them line up in Congress and vote lockstep for the most outrageous, you know, putting boys in girls' locker rooms, continuing to push the transgender surgery issue, you know, opposing ICE and secure borders. Every issue they have a chance to show who they really are, they all go lockstep with the far left. Do not be fooled by the so-called moderate Democrats across the country.
All right, Steve Gill, looking ahead now, we've got the primary you've got the primary race coming up in the 9th Congressional District in Tennessee. You've got four Republican candidates there. Who do you like? Is anybody yet starting to sort of surface or percolate towards the top?
I think in the ninth, you've got Todd Warner, who's on the eastern side of the district, who's a conservative state rep. You know, if you've got folks on the eastern end of that district who decide they don't want somebody in Memphis representing Williamson County and Murray County and all those east portions of the district, he could have a shot. But I don't think he's going to have the money and the resources to really compete with Brent Taylor, who you and I know very well, state senator from Memphis. He's already put $1 million of his own money in the race, has the endorsements of Senator Bill Haggerty, Senator Marsha Blackburn, a whole host of state Senate, state House members across the state. I think it's his to lose, and I think it's going to be difficult for anybody to supplant him in the Republican primary. And it's a Republican enough district that he should win in the fall. You know, whether it's London Lamar, a Democrat state senator from Memphis, or whether it's the whack job Justin Pearson who prevails there, I don't think they can win the rest of the district outside of dark blue Memphis in the new numbers that district represents. Probably a plus 12 Republican district. So if Brent Taylor wins the nomination, he should win.
All right, good stuff. Steve Gill, we're going to leave it there. TriStarDaily.com, ladies and gentlemen, the website. Go read it. Great, great political insight there. TriStarDaily.com. Steve, always good having you on the show.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, got to take a break, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, the Life of Dad Show. They've got the top five worst chores that kids have to do. This is funny. So again, one of them is taking out the trash. I didn't necessarily mind taking out the trash. I hated folding clothes. That was a very unpleasant experience. But here are the top five: dishes and pots, having to wash, folding and putting away laundry, cleaning the bathroom. For me, that would be like number one. Scrubbing toilets, bathtubs, and bathroom sinks, yard work, and picking up small toys. Oh, the blasted Legos. Those things used to drive me nuts, right? You'd be running around the house, all of a sudden you hit one of those Legos. You were cussing like a Methodist, I'll tell you. I'm telling you, those things hurt. So anyway, taking your calls on the most loathed kids' chores, and is it time to bring back old school chores when it comes to the young people of America? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, we're putting together the final stages. They push back the book release to let me recover a little bit from the events of the past month or so. And so we're already starting to plot the launch of the Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I think it's going to be we're generating a lot of buzz, and we're going to be doing a lot of the shows. I believe we're doing a C-SPAN show. We're going to be on the C-SPAN. They got their book club, so we're going to be doing a nice sit-down interview. Looking forward to that. And, of course, the endorsements are coming in pretty much around the clock now. Speaker Mike Johnson endorsing the book. As a matter of fact, here's what the speaker had to say. As President Trump leads our nation into its golden age, Todd Stearns has delivered a powerful and timely book that challenges us to be that shining city on a hill. Read and share this with friends and family who believe in America and want to help keep our extraordinary republic. Also getting endorsements from Dr. Robert Jeffress, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman David Kustoff, Congressman Marlon Stutzman, and Ron Estes. So the list goes on and on and on. We're also going to be doing a one-hour TV special surrounding the book, and that's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll tell you more about that in the coming days. Again, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Hour three of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. I am your host, Todd Starnes, proudly broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, watch the Todd Stern Show. We're going to do a complete debrief of what happened yesterday in Texas and where we go from here. Well, I want to bring into the conversation our good friend. She is a Newsmax columnist, Wendy Patrick. Wendy, hope you're doing good today.
Oh, Todd, it's always a pleasure to join you. Thank you for having me.
You know, Wendy, I want to play some audio for you. We've been following a lot of different races, and the one out in California, and especially Los Angeles, cracks me up. Spencer Pratt, and he seems to be doing pretty well. And here's one of the reasons why. This is Mayor Karen Bass talking about Los Angeles. Let's take a listen to Cut 16.
Well, the L.A. that I grew up in, first of all, was a lot cleaner. Mm-hmm. There were not people sleeping on our streets. The city was actually affordable. You could rent an apartment, work part-time, and go to school. So it was a lot different. And I am so hopeful, though, because our city has grown to be such an international city, and I love that. Everybody in the world lives here, and our city is much more diverse than it was before. Many more people. But unfortunately, the city isn't affordable now, and we do have people sleeping on our streets, which is exactly why I ran for mayor, because I know how our city can be, and we're going to get there again.
Well, it kind of sounds like a Spencer Pratt ad, Wendy.
You know, Todd, when that started playing, I wondered whether it was AI. Because you're absolutely right. It's like everything she said is the reason that Spencer Pratt has a good shot at winning. You know, it's gotten to be, and not everybody in the world lives here. It's gotten to be so bad where people that we meet when we travel abroad, our city's no longer known for Hollywood. It's known for homelessness. The fact that people, no matter where they live, understand how bad Los Angeles has become is not a good ad for re-election. If anything, as you say, it makes it even more likely an outsider like Spencer Pratt, who wants to clean everything up, is more likely to have a shot.
And his ads are just so effective. I don't know who's running that campaign or doing the marketing or but comms. It's really brilliant.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, some of them, I wonder whether he's even involved in, because the meme patrol that really has let out a lot of these AI ones on Twitter and on X that we've seen are really hitting all the right areas. I don't know if you saw yesterday, Karen Bass wants to offer free dental care to homeless meth users. And those types of programs, that's really controversial, because most people want to get those people help and reduce the population of homeless meth users instead of providing clean teeth. We want to clean up their act and get them clean and sober completely. So a lot of these ideas that we're seeing in these slick new ads that Spencer Pratt is running, you know, I guess the only downside is a lot of his followers don't live in the city of Los Angeles and they're not going to be able to vote.
And that would be somewhat problematic, not for a Democrat, of course. Those votes would somehow show up, but for a Republican, you know, an honest Republican. It's, you know, Wendy, we've also been following the governor's race there, and there are two new polls out. One is from Echelon Insights, and they've got Steve Hilton, who, by the way, was the poll sponsor, leading the field with 25% of the vote. Then you had Tom Steyer, Javier Becerra coming in at 18%, 15%, Bianco trailing at 12%. Now, there's another poll out there, the Global Strategy Group, which is sponsored by Steyer's campaign, and they actually show Hilton in the lead in that poll, 22%, with Steyer and Becerra tied at 19% and Bianco at 12%. What do you make of this new polling data out there?
You know, Todd, every time I look at polling data, I remember that if polls were accurate, Hillary Clinton would have been president in 2017. And that was also true when it came to the president's most recent reelection is, you know, the polls weren't accurate. But, Todd, not all of them are inaccurate. And that's why I'm always curious when you tell me that Steve Hilton was involved in a poll or somebody else was involved in a poll that sort of lends credibility to the way in which the data was collected. I will also say, though, you know, our friends and neighbors, you know, they're naming and shaming people that are voting for the wrong candidates, wrong in quotation marks, of course. And I always worry that whoever people say they're going to vote for isn't actually their way they're going to vote at the ballot box. That may have something to do with why some of these polls have Steve Hilton in the lead, because a lot of people, and it goes back to the Karen Bass conversation, don't like the status quo. You know, it's not just L.A. that has a homeless and a drug problem. I'm from San Diego, and that is, you know, a close second. And I'm sure that there are lots of people that live here that feel the exact same way, that it's time for a change. And I'm not entirely positive that those polls that show Becerra in the lead are accurate either. So I think Steve Hilton really has a shot.
I do, too. And again, it's I think people are tired, and they're tired of their communities, their neighborhoods looking like homeless encampments. And yeah. I think even in California, and, you know, people are concerned about those things. They want their kids to be able to go out and, you know, play in the parks and communities without, you know, having to, you know, step on a dirty needle or something.
That's true. And, you know, also California, we have the fire issue here. We are uniquely predisposed in a variety of ways to wildfires, and not just wildfires, arsonists. It doesn't take much for dry brush to spark, and we get so little rain that it's a wonderful issue that you see in L.A. that that Steve Pratt has been running on. I think it's an issue that's more statewide. You know, we've had a rash of in San Diego, a rash of fires that broke out there. There was one right by my house last week, and nobody ever finds the causes of a lot of these fires because they're so easy to start. So I would add that to the list of reasons that people are really going to look for somebody that's going to keep the city and the state safe. Remember the lack of water and the hydrants that we learned about after the Palisades fire. Those issues are not localized to Los Angeles. So I think those are the kinds of very practical day-to-day issues that are going to give Republicans a shot up and down the state.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up. I want to switch gears in just a second, but I've got to talk about these. You mentioned the fires. And there's a baker, her name is, last name is Romano, Daniela Romano, and she lost her apartment in that fire, and she lost her business in the fire, and she's selling these Vote Pratt cookies at one of the grocery stores, right? Locally owned grocery stores, and Jimmy Kimmel's sister-in-law is coming out and is trying to, like, I don't know, cancel the poor woman.
Yeah, you know, those cookies were flying off the shelves like hotcakes. I mean, everybody wanted one of those. And, you know, the fact that somebody tries to cancel you, you know, you hate to say it's always a backhanded compliment, but it just goes to show you what a threat an outsider Steve Pratt has been to the institution, to the establishment. And you know what else? It's also bringing attention to the race. In the same way Steve Hilton and I would say even the decline of Eric Swalwell, all of that drama has brought attention to the California's governor's race. The more attention people pay, the more they watch on television, the better shot the Republican candidates have, because viewers are voters.
It's true. All right, finally, Taylor Lorenz. I don't know why. I wouldn't wish her on any state, but she ended up in California. My condolences, Wendy. And she's the former Washington Post writer, and now she's raging online about bagels and cream cheese, and the New York Post is all over the story. So apparently she's a big fan of Los Angeles bagel shops, not so much New York City bagel shops, because they're not serving vegan cream cheese. And she was complaining that she wants cashew-based vegan cream cheese instead of hyper-processed tofu-y, which honestly, Wendy, I thought it was a toe fungus. I had no idea.
You know, Todd, you and I grew up in a day and age where you just ordered a bagel and cream cheese. There wasn't the same variety. And, I mean, Starbucks just gave you coffee or decaf. You know, I think that the California voters have more on their minds than these social issues. It's sort of like the Maslow pyramid of needs. You first want food, shelter, affordable housing, and all of the necessities of life before you really move up the pyramid to try to figure out what kind of cream cheese spread you want on your bagel, or whether or not that's even in your budget. So these issues, I think they're a bit of a distraction, but I'm just like you. I think it's fascinating to follow them. It's tongue-in-cheek as we discuss them, but when it comes to the ballot box, those are not going to be the types of things that are going to sway Californians. If anything, it's off-putting to talk about luxury purchases when so many people are barely scraping enough together to go to the grocery store once a week.
I got to tell you, so she's demanding Mayor Mamdani actually intervene. That she wants government intervention in the cream cheese crisis. And I got to think, you know, my recommendation is to think long and hard about that, because the government's going to be smearing something, but I don't think it's going to be cream cheese. So,
good one, Todd.
Wendy Patrick. Wendy, I'm heading out to California. I'm heading to Southern California later this summer. So we are going to have to meet up.
I would love that. That would be a great idea. We'll do a show together from my home state.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And lunch on me. Just no vegan cream cheese.
Okay. Wendy, thank you, Todd.
All right. Thanks, Wendy. Wendy Patrick, great Newsmax columnist and an incredible attorney as well. At Wendy Lynn Patrick, if you want to follow her on Instagram, at Wendy Lynn Patrick. All right. We've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, always fun to weigh in on our ladies panel. They show up every Tuesday on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Let's take a listen to the gals.
In spite of the drama, the Spencer Pratt cookies are apparently selling like hotcakes. The baker says she sold 700 cookies in just one day. What do you make of that?
So I love, love, love this. Spencer Pratt, he has apparently no campaign manager. He's clearly not a politician. And he is probably running one of the best campaigns we've seen in a really long time. And because it's grassroots, it's the people who are helping him. It's just regular people who are doing his videos for him, and they're brilliant. So, you know, it's this woman who said, I'm going to make these cookies because I lost my home too. And so I support the guy who thinks I should have be able to build my home back. I actually tried to order the cookies, and apparently you have to buy them in the store. So I love Spencer Pratt, but I can't vote for him. Although they do not ask for ID, so I don't know. I guess I could fly out there, grab some cookies, and vote for him. But I think that's probably illegal, so I wouldn't do that. But good for her. You know, she's making the money back too from a lost business. This is a win-win all the way around. And I love that Jimmy Kimmel's sister is the one who tipped the domino to give them the publicity. It's so sweet.
Yeah. So Kay, on that note, are we really surprised here that it was Jimmy Kimmel's sister-in-law that got triggered? I mean, what is wrong with this family?
It's such a shame whenever we have to deal with Jimmy Kimmel, because I'm always scared that he's going to post the clip on his show and then I'm going to get a deluge of death threats, which has happened on at least one occasion, probably others. I don't know. I never really do too much digging to see where I'm getting death threats from. But yeah, that's the people who support Jimmy Kimmel. Those are the people who support his show. So I can only presume that other than like Adam Carolla, that's probably who Jimmy Kimmel surrounds himself with. I know that there's been another story about Jimmy Kimmel's sister-in-law at one point, and I remember it just being, even just like at the surface level, something that made me go, oh, shut up. Like, you are so on the wrong side of this. Because, guys, I lived in L.A. I lived actually round the corner from where Jimmy Kimmel used to, or maybe he still does, record his show. You used to have to step over bodies to walk down. To walk down not just the street outside of his studio, but pretty much every single street within, you know, like a 30 block radius. So I think that like what Mary said, I think it's absolutely glorious that it was a Kimmel or Kimmel's sister-in-law or whatever who is now giving huge attention to this baker. I think it is very well deserved. I think that she is on the right side, not Jimmy Kimmel's sister-in-law, but the baker is on the right side of history. And I think if Los Angeles doesn't vote for Spencer Pratt, then the whole place can just go to hell in a handbasket, because how stupid do you have to be to not vote for him at this point when you live in that glorified slum?
All right, Mary, our producers are getting in touch with Joe Moeller. I don't care what assignment he's on for Newsmax right now in L.A. We're sending him over to get you cookies. Meanwhile, we've got to talk about this story involving Taylor Lorenz. Can we talk about her for a second? Former Washington Post journalist, and she's complaining about New York City bagel shops not having cashew-based vegan cream cheese. And now she's calling out Mayor Zohran Mamdani to fix the problem. First of all, Mary, I'm wondering, what exactly is vegan cream cheese, and is that really the hill to die on here?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. I'm glad I don't know what vegan cream cheese is, because I don't know. What do you make it with if you don't use milk? I don't know what that is. So and she says, you know, the bagels in LA suck. Well, so are you trying to make them worse? I mean, they're inedible now. I will not eat a bagel outside of this geographic area because I am a bagel snob. So that's just the way it goes. And I've seen people put a lot of stuff on bagels, but they're still great bagels, and so that's okay with me. But there are just some things that should not be. And did you ever notice you never see meat eaters trying to make meat taste like vegetables? Like, I've never seen anyone said, take that steak and make it taste like kale for me. It doesn't happen. But they are always trying to make like their vegetable products or whatever it is she eats into things that they're not. So maybe you should just change your diet. And by the way, Taylor Lorenz, why is it? I thought she went away.
Okay, so look, here's the deal. I accidentally smeared my bagel with that vegan cream cheese once, and it just slid right off. The bagel would not accept the vegan smear. So that being said, I'm going to predict here, my money is actually on Mandami actually intervening in the cream cheese crisis. What say you?
Oh, I could absolutely. I mean, that's so on brand for him, right? Like, this is a guy who's apparently now, I just saw before we went live today, a guy who is now going to try and take property off of landlords that he thinks aren't doing their job well enough in New York City. So this complete little sociopath, communist scumbag who is going to dismantle one of the greatest cities on earth if he's allowed to have his way. The fact that he thinks he can do that, I'm sure he absolutely thinks that he can walk into absolutely any business in New York City and say, hey guys, if you don't have cream cheese that isn't cheese, that doesn't have any cream in it, that tastes like little bits of cardboard and dust, if you don't have that, you're all going to prison. So I think that is...
All right, that was Kay Smyville. I love these two ladies, and we have a lot of fun. We got to get on the radio together as well one of these days. You never know what they're going to say. By the way, you can go and listen to the full interview over at toddstearns.com. By the way, any of you guys ever have questions about the Bible, or maybe you want to know what the Bible says about, well, for example, aliens? Well, I've got a great solution for you, and it is absolutely free of charge. It's something called My Faith Assistant, and I want you to try it. It's from our good friend, Dr. Michael Youssef. MyFaithAssistant.com is the website. There is no login required, completely free, and you are going to get answers to your questions, all questions and answers theologically vetted. This is not built for clicks. It is built for Christ. And so I want you to go and check it out. Dr. Michael Youssef, the voice behind MyFaithAssistant.com, which is a great opportunity for you to get information that you have about the Bible. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with our good friends at Strategic Financial Partners. Adam Martin dropping by. Do you have a question about your finances? Give us a call. You know, I love this segment every Wednesday, and it's a lot of fun, and I think it's a lot of information. It's pretty educational. I learned a lot from this segment. Adam Martin joins us. He's a financial advisor with Strategic Financial Partners. And I know it is so hard to remember telephone numbers. I want you to remember the website address, strategicfinancialpartners.com. That's strategicfinancialpartners.com. And if you have a question about your finances, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Adam, we've been talking about the conversation about bringing back old school chores. For me, I was surprised. I'm like, what do you mean bringing them back? I thought everybody had chores. What about you as a kid growing up?
My dad, he said, you want to learn how to cut the grass? I said, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Uh-oh.
He never cut the grass ever again.
No,
it was my job from that point forward.
Well, now, did you get paid to mow the grass, or was there an allowance involved?
Nope, there was no allowance. It was just, hey, if you're going to live here, this is what your responsibility is. As a kid, he was trying to teach me responsibilities, and I'm glad he did. I'm going to do the same for my daughter. But, yeah, there was no pay involved at all.
I have great respect, and there are a couple of Hollywood stars out there, and they've made hundreds of millions of dollars, and their kids aren't getting any of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's their money. They raised it, and they want their kids to be, you know, pull themselves up by the bootstraps. I respect that.
I like Shaq a lot. I love what he's done post his NBA career, but one of the things he's mentioned is his kids always talk about how much money they got, and he says, I have to correct them. That's my money.
That's my money. That's that's my house. So, today, an interesting topic. And by the way, last week, that conversation freaked me out, but it also sort of like shook me back into reality, you know, making sure that, it, you know, what do we call it again?
Key-man insurance.
Key-man insurance. I love that.
I don't have these conversations to strike fear into anybody. I want it to be educational. But that is, it's a good thing that you know about it now because you are a business owner.
I had absolutely no idea that sort of thing actually even existed. So that's why I was really intrigued by it all.
Oh, I'm glad you got something from it.
But you know, it did. But, and again, I say it freaked me out only because, you know, I was, you know, had a near death experience, but it really reassured me knowing, hey, look, there is a solution, because I'm going to be honest with you. You know, you're sitting there and you're realizing everything in this building is built around one guy, and you want to make sure that one guy is, you know, going to be around for a little while.
We always have this, you know, statement whenever we meet with somebody for the first time. You know, we talk about the insurance piece first, and we get asked why. And because that's the foundation. You know, if you're building a business on top of, you know, a weak foundation, do you feel confident that it'll withstand the turmoil and the hard times?
We're going to talk about the market, but we do have a call. You want to go to the call here?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Ryan in Mississippi. Ryan, you're on the air with Adam. Martin, what's your question?
Hey, Mr. Adam. I was calling to see if y'all do investing.
Yes, sir, we do.
How much is the minimum you got to start with to invest with y'all?
Well, we have several models that could be a $5,000 minimum that has certain investment options with it. There's other options that we have that have higher minimums, but there's also just a standalone brokerage account that's no fees to it. It could incur some transactional charges if we're trading in and out, but that's while we start with a conversation first. So if you're interested, I'm happy to give you some more information.
So if you have a lot of money, if you don't have a lot of money, you're going to be able to help folks out.
That's right.
Oh, I like that idea. Adam, Ryan, that's a great question, and thank you for calling in. By the way, Ryan, go to strategicfinancialpartners.com, or if you'd like for us to reach out to you, you know what, let's put Ryan on hold here, and we'll get his contact information, and we'll get you guys connected after the segment. Why don't we do that?
Thanks for your question, Ryan.
All right. So here we have timing the market versus time in the market. And I want you to explain the difference we're talking about here.
Yep. So the fundamental thing here is timing the market means that you're trying to figure out when is the right time to buy low and sell high. And the problem with that is that there are so many things that affect the market. It's almost impossible to do that consistently. So we always tell people, it's better off to come in thinking about how much time you have to be in the market, because when we look at things like the S&P 500 over the course of like the last 95 years, there was only so many down markets compared to up markets. And when I look at from like 1925 to 2020, which is 95 years, we only had 25 down markets where we closed the year in the down. So that just means that you have a higher probability of reaching those financial goals by just staying invested and sticking to your plan.
I've always learned buy low, sell high.
That's right. I mean, that's the name of the game. But, you know, it's one of those things like right now, why I think this is an important conversation to be talking about is we're at all-time highs in the stock market. You know, the Dow Jones is over 50,000. The S&P 500 is right at 7,500. We've never hit those metrics before. So a lot of people were getting phone calls and they're saying, should I sell now? Should I sell now? And we're not saying sell. We're not saying buy. What we're saying is let's go back to the plan. You know, you're not going to use these dollars for another 10 more years. So that's a 10-year runway that the 7,500 benchmark that we're at now could grow even higher.
And yet there are a lot of people that just have these long-term investments, and that's where the phrase time in the market comes into play.
That's right. I mean, how many people in 2008, when we had a huge market correction, started selling at the wrong time? Because they were like, I've already lost 10%. I can't afford to lose anymore. I'm trying to retire in a couple of years. They're selling at the absolute worst time. And then 2009, 2010 comes, and we start to see a rebound. And it's like, if you'd have just held on, stick to the plan, you would have rebounded a lot sooner than you thought.
It just seems to me that this is really where the struggle is, because you see the market dropping and you get nervous and you immediately make a decision, and that's normally not the right thing to do.
It's not, and that's what gives me job security, if you will, because that's what we're here to do, is that, okay, there's a lot of stuff that pops up on the TV or your social media that says, now's the time to get out of it, or now's the time to buy. Before you just go and hit the button and buy or sell, pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll happily walk through it and say, you know, I'm not so sure that that's going to be the best decision, but I understand if you have to. At the end of the day, it's your money and we can't control it.
Adam Martin is with Strategic Financial Partners, the website strategicfinancialpartners.com. And maybe you have a question about the stock market or finances or investing. Give Adam a call, 901-260-5926. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. 260-5926. I'm curious, what happens? People, they sell in the downturn. What happens next?
So when they sell in the downturn, typically what happens is they try to find a financial advisor, or they go on the internet and try to solve it themselves. But they want to know, am I going to be okay? The next question is, hey, I know that this was a correction. How did that affect my plan? And what we always do is like, you know, I wish you'd have called us before you did that, because it's most of the time it's a reactionary phone call instead of a proactive planning approach. And we have to be the ones that give them the bad news and say, you know, I wish you'd have just held on a little bit longer because you could have rebounded.
I guess it's almost like coaching a game, right? And the players, you want to react, but your coach tells you this is what you need to do. And I think a lot of that comes, at least on the financial side, with discipline as well.
Well, you know, I think right now is a good time to really think about this, because what's going on in the world? I mean, we've got geopolitical things that are happening because there's a midterm election year where there's natural volatility being built into the market. We have a Fed chair change that's, we don't know if he's going to come in and lower rates. The data says that right now that there's a potential for a rate hike. Well, interest rates affect the market. They affect bonds. And they affect other securities. And so when we factor in all those things, we have those conversations and we say, okay, if this thing corrects, you're still going to be okay, because you're not going to be using these dollars for another 5 more years or 6 more years. Remember what we talked about on the initial meeting. And a lot of times that is the aha light bulb moment where they go, you're right. I think I just overreacted. I'm just going to stay the course and we're going to ride this thing out.
So again, for folks listening at home, and you know they've been trying to time the market. Maybe they're just not sure if their investments are aligning with their goals. What do they need to be doing?
So I would just say, what is your money allocated to? Okay, so you need to have some allocation towards retirement. We've got to have some money there. If major purchase for those young listeners that want to buy a new house, like, you've got to have money and have it allocated the right way and protected away from big market swings. We always talk about the cash reserves. That's not market correlated. So if the market tanks, your cash is not going down. So having a plan for each and every single dollar that you have, if there's money left over and you want to day trade, you want to move in and out of stocks or try to time the market, that's money that we always say, if you can afford to lose it, go play with it.
So this is really not about predicting the market.
It's not. It's about having time in the market. You know, I can tell a young person who is, let's just use a number here, 25 years old, they've got a 40-year runway before they hit full retirement age. They may not have $100,000 to invest. They may have $10,000, but I say $10,000 40 years from now is going to be a tremendous asset for you because you have the time. Now, if you're 55 and you want to retire at 60, there's a time constraint there. So that's why it's more detrimental for us to not be trying to time the market. Let's stay the course on that.
That makes perfect sense. Again, strategicfinancialpartners.com. Adam, what happens? They're going to go to the website. What information are they going to be looking for? Do they need to look for?
So when you go to our website, we have a team of several different associate advisors. So you'll be looking for me in particular. My email address is adammartin@strategicfinancialpartners.com. If you have a question and you want to get it answered, just shoot me an email. I'll reply back to you. And if it goes to a point where we need to have a meeting, or you want to have a meeting, I'll get that scheduled. We can do a Zoom, or if you're local, we can do it in person. But on our website, we also have, things that show you about like market insights, what all we do. We have a private wealth advisory team. We've got a sports affiliated team. So whatever your situation is, we've got somebody in place to handle it.
All right. Adam, always good to see you, my friend.
Good seeing you, too.
You still mow the grass?
I do mow the grass. Matter of fact, if it stopped raining, I've got to do that now.
It's not going to stop raining. We haven't seen the sun in weeks here in Memphis. Adam, good to see you, my friend.
Good seeing you, too.
All right. Again, Adam Martin, everybody, financial advisor with strategicfinancialpartners.com. Write that website down, strategicfinancialpartners.com, or just pull it up on your smartphone and bookmark it. You're going to want to reach out to these guys. They know what they're doing, and they are here to help our audience. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back. I want to introduce you to a fella. He's a black guy, but he actually identifies as a white man. I don't know how that happens, but it does, apparently. Rachel Dolezal. Remember her, the head of the NAACP? And it turned out that she was a white woman who just apparently had an addiction to tanning salons. That was kind of embarrassing. She thought the name of the group was the National Association for the Advancement of Caucasian People, but that was just a little typo, just a typo. Anyway, Antoine Smalls is a young black guy who claims to identify as a white man named Harrison. I want you to. He's 35 years old from Colorado. Take a listen.
I'm a 35-year-old white man.
Harrison, born Antoine Smalls, has transracial identity, identifying as Harrison Booth, a 35-year-old white man from Colorado.
And when did you know that you were a 35-year-old white man?
Well, I've always felt different. I go to the store, the movies, and just be thinking to myself, like, why am I not getting the respect I deserve? Mm-hmm. And then it just hit me. I'm white. And 35. I just miss Colorado sometimes. You know, here I pretend the buildings are the old San Juan mountain range, but, you know, the job's just here.
And where do you work?
I'm a systems engineer for Coca-Cola.
Oh, okay.
That boy don't work. He go to school and that's it. Mm-hmm. One day he said, call me Harrison. I said, who's that? He said, me.
Do you believe that he is a white man?
I mean, he isn't. Mm-hmm. I'd love to wake up one day and say, hey, everybody, I'm Rihanna. But I ain't.
Somebody yanking my chain here. I was getting a little misty. I'm like, welcome to the race. I just, you know, what do you say? Parker, I mean, you know, I saw the video and he was wearing like one of the quarter zips. I mean, he had the white guy vibes.
He was really trying to pull it off.
Again, I don't know if anybody sat down with Antoine/Harrison and explained, you know, do you really want to do this, right? Because you're going to have to start, like, cutting off the crust on your sandwiches. You're going to have to eat a lot of stuff with mayonnaise, you know, the cucumber sandwiches.
We have to give an A for effort, I think. He's really trying.
Not only that, I mean, how's he going to handle country music?
Is he going to be okay with that?
I don't know. I wonder if he can play basketball. Is that going to hurt his game?
He might lose a couple inches in his vertical.
At least. Yeah, white boy can't jump. I'm just saying. Wasn't the mom? They interviewed the guy's mom. She's not buying it. She's not buying it. You're what? What did she say? I want to be Rihanna, but.
But I'm not.
But she's not. She's transracial. Is that what the guy called? You know, this is interesting because you can self-identify. I mean, a lot of people are out there and they're doing that. You know, they're self-identifying as things they are, in fact, not. And who are we? Who are we, ladies and gentlemen, to tell Harrison Smalls, a 35-year-old black man who looks really black? I'm just going to tell you, there's no wiggle room. You can't, like, you know, it's like, well, he may be, I don't know, maybe Hispanic? I'm just saying, he's a black guy. But who are we to judge, right? I mean, if you can identify as some sort of a two-spirit toe fungus, then by golly, this black guy should be able to identify as a white guy. That's all I'm saying. Oh, you won't be able to eat spicy food. Gotta toss out the hot sauce. You know, those white bellies, they just, those digestive tracts, they don't build them like they used to. I'm just saying. Jeez alone. So anyway, good luck to you, Harris. Oh, I wonder what kind of car, does he drive a pickup truck?
That's a great question.
I'm wondering. You know, he's got to have, well, again, if he's going to join the race, the white, we've got to figure out a more polite way of saying that. If he's going to join the clan, no, we can't say that. If he's going to join the tribe, There we go, tribe. If he's going to join the tribe, we've got to help this guy out. I mean, that's a tough transition, right?
It's not easy, that's for sure.
You go from, what, Biggie Smalls to Dolly Parton? You know, that's a jump for anybody. Oh, where do you go on vacation? Certainly not like Myrtle Beach or Memphis. You got to go to like what? Branson? Sight and Sound? The Ark Encounter? I'm just saying. So anyway, good luck to you there. Harrison Smalls. Oh, no, he changed his last name. His Harrison Booth is his name. So good luck to you, Harrison. And we wish you nothing but the very best. Wow. All right. We're going to leave it there, everybody. Great show. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. Watch the Todd Stern Show there. We're going to be back with you tomorrow, noon o'clock, right here on the radio. Get out there and be good, everybody.